Delete, sometimes everything you say to me, I hear like it's critical and you're angry at me.
Yeah, me too. Sometimes when you're giving me like constructive feedback, I take it as like you're criticizing me. You're being judgmental of me. You're being nasty to me.
And then whatever you say or
you
whatever
be
I say,
hurtful.
Whatever I say, it just sounds more of the same.
Yeah.
That is called negative sentiment override. And today we're going to teach you how to soften that vicious cycle in your relationships. Mm-hmm.
You are listening to the Potential State Podcast with your host, Dr. Asael Romanelli.
Hi, my name is Dr. Asael Romanelli.
And I'm Galit Romanelli.
And this is the Potential State. And today we are going to talk about how to stop negatively interpreting your partner.
Yes.
In other terms, how to stop negative sentiment override. So how do you know a lawyer is lying?
He's talking.
Right.
Or she.
They open their mouth.
They are talking.
And we see this all the time in couples, okay? When couples are in a tense place, Gottman's, their research shows that they call this negative sentiment override. But basically what happens, anything my partner says from past assaults to I love you
is interpreted as negative.
Negatively. And the interpretation is usually consistent with whatever dynamic there is. So either she's going to experience me as being aggressive, on the attack the whole time, or I'm going to experience my wife as always being either angry or maybe being
judgmental or critical
or full of pity. And what happens is it's a vicious cycle, which
right.
is really
it's
hard
really
to
hard
start
to get out of it.
Because anything, even if she says, let's stop fighting, you're like, oh, you're just saying it to even humiliate me more. And then what happens is you just can't get it out of that loop. So the Gottmans have kind of defined this concept. So they have their kind of recipe on how to do that. And a lot of it is very behavioral. But we want to give our interpretation or our understanding of why this happens and how to
our
change
experience.
It.
Our experience.
Exactly. So why does this negative
right.
interpretation...
Right. What triggers this vicious cycle? I think it's clear how we behave once we're in the vicious cycle. But what actually starts and like is the catalyst for this vicious cycle that begins of interpreting everything your partner does negatively. So I found that it's when we're confronted with a paradox, right? Like when your partner does something that's hurtful to you and you're confronted with this paradox of like, ow, that really hurt. But this person is supposed to love me. So like, how do those paradoxes sit in the same place? How does it sit in the same place that, you know, Asael can say to me, you know, like you're really losing it and raging at the kids if he loves me. Like if he loves me, he wouldn't say that because that's so hurtful.
So those paradoxes are in every single human interaction.
Right. We're flooded with a lot of these paradoxes. And we need to learn how to settle these paradoxes or live with these paradoxes.
So paradox is one of the reasons. The next reason is people are not owning their shit. Now, what's owning your shit? Watch the talk about ownership. But basically, there's this idea that there's always, we have a shadow and I have parts in there.
Right. And sometimes Asael really does say things that are hurtful to hurt my feelings. That's part of being in a relationship with people. That's, what does Schnarch call it?
Normal marital sadism.
Exactly.
You always right? hurt the one you love. It's inevitable. She's so important for me.
So that paradox that I'm feeling of like, ow, he just hurt me, but he's supposed to love me. It's not a paradox. Yeah, he hurt me and he loves me, right? And so the ownership comes to kind of like smooth that over, because if Asael never admits that sometimes he hurts me, he's like emotionally gaslighting me.
And then what happens is she stops believing what I say.
Right.
I see this a lot, especially with women who are not owning their aggression toward their partner. They're like, I never want to hurt you. I never want to belittle
right.
you. I'm only suffering. I'm only the victim. And then what happens is that because partners are not owning their shit, of course your partner's going to interpret everything
right.
you say as negatively because they don't trust you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because you're never owning it. You're like, yeah, that there I did it, there I didn't.
And that's exactly. And so the biggest reason is partners are not owning their shit, or not because they think that it would be bad to own the fact that sometimes I want to belittle, hurt, mock, or just jab my partner.
Right.
The second reason, the third reason, so we have paradox, we have ownership. Third is empty love tanks. And that basically comes from Gary Chapman's work, which says we all have a love tank when it's empty,
right.
when we're not being filled, seen, celebrated, and it's flashing.
Yeah.
We have no generosity of spirit.
That's right.
And I am in survival mode and you become the enemy. Think about it.
And you don't care for me and you
exactly.
don't love me because you're not filling my love tank. My love tank is depleted.
And it's usually, we go back to the Gottmans.
And then, sorry, one second,
go.
But like then I don't want to fill his love tank. Because why should I fill your love tank if my love tank is empty? Exactly. I don't have any love to give right now.
Exactly. And then we go into bookkeeping. You can look at that talk. It also means that we've dropped the 5-to-1 ratio. Gottman say 5 yeses to every no, like, or 5 filling up the love tank every time I refuse it. It probably means you've dropped below the 5-to-1 ratio. Your love tank is empty. So, of course, you're going to go into this negative loop and everything she says, I'm just going to get angry and bitter because I don't feel love.
I'm empty.
And the last reason that creates this is the holy trinity of blocking. When your partner actually does something,
you're like, oh, you didn't mean that. Oh, you just said that because
I asked. I'm surprised, insulted, or disappointed. I decide to even block, even when they actually do something.
Right, you're
nice
only doing it because I wanted to do it because I asked you to do it. So, yeah, exactly.
And that.
I asked you to do it, so you're doing it. How lovely.
But when you're negative sentiment override, anything she says, I'm going to just interpret it negatively, then she's going to, so never mind. So even when the partners are trying to correct that, it's a vicious cycle that cannot stop.
Yeah, you're in that vicious loop.
And I have so many examples. Just have one from this week. From this week, I met with this couple, and basically they're in this dance where she's the victim and he's the persecutor. You can look at the victim triangle episode. And basically anything she said, he interpreted as she's being victim-y. And she's whining and complaining that whatever he does, he can't get it right. And she interprets everything he says as aggressive.
Right.
Everything he says, from I don't want to go out tonight to can I have a cup of coffee to this was you look great. Everything's like, oh, he's aggressive. It's like, so they could not step out of that. And let's use an example from our marriage.
Yeah, let's do it.
So as we're working on these videos and we're trying to find a way to kind of work together, oftentimes
I came with an idea to Sa'ir on like a tweak to one of these episodes. And he like immediately was like, no, that's too simplistic. Like immediately, like it didn't even, I could see, like it didn't even land. He didn't even let it land. It's like, no, that's too simplistic. And then I was like, okay, well, I, you know, think that it's good and like we can talk about it. And then he came back and he started like attacking me on that I didn't even listen, right?
Yeah.
That I wasn't even listening to why he thought it was too simplistic and why. And I said, I'm happy to listen why you think it's too simplistic, but you need to own your shit that you didn't even let it land.
So in these moments, because we're not versed, we're working on our verse, so we're both very sensitive. So sometimes she'll feel like I'm mismatching her, and sometimes I feel like she's trying to compete with me, and that is part of our little negative sentiment override. And as we're trying to work on this by verbalizing it, in a second we'll give you the tips how to do it, but we just want to show you that all couples have that in different scenarios. Sometimes it's very rigid, it's all-encompassing, but sometimes it's going to be in areas or in scenarios where you guys are not solid enough, when you're not open enough.
Yeah.
Good. And we solve that. There we go. Tick.
So, no, but I think that what really, really helps is the own your shit.
Okay, so now we're going into the tips.
Right.
Okay? Tip number one, own your mother loving shit.
You have to. It's the only way.
It's the first step because a lot of times when couples say, well, how do we stop? The first thing is saying, stop blaming yourself, your partner. Start owning up.
Yeah.
Start confessing all the things that you do.
Because this is why. This is why it's in your enlightened self-interest to do that.
Do
because
it.
When you start owning your shit, then when you're like, no, I didn't do that to hurt you, then the partner has to let it land. They have to.
Right?
Right? Because otherwise, it's just going to get, your partner's going to get numb to any feedback you have to give.
And if you think that they'll get angrier because you're admitting to being aggressive, it's my experience, it's the opposite.
Right. When Hafez finally admitted here that he didn't let my idea land, yes. I was like, thank you. Thank you for saying that. Now we can move forward. It wasn't like, aha, I knew it. And then we got into this big fight. No, it was just like, thank you. Now we can move on.
So, because if you think about it, every time you deny your marital normals, their normal marital sadism, you're basically gaslighting your partner.
Yes.
So start by validating. You're right. I did belittle it. I didn't listen to
there
it.
There I did. There I didn't.
Start with that. First of all, start with that. Don't even expect it. Just start doing that. You will also feel released. You can refer to the ownership episode and the caveman consequences episode. And then the next step is fill up your partner's love tank.
Yeah.
And you can do that. And there's look at the love languages episode and the emotional bids episode. But consciously start saying more yeses.
When you both have a full love tank, then you're generous with each other. And you want to be generous with each other. Yeah. And you're positive towards each other.
There's a generosity of spirit. There's like more leeway. I'm more flexible. I'm more open. How do you fill each other's love tank? Refer to those episodes.
Or read Gary Chapman's.
Or Gary Chapman's Five Love Languages.
But also just look at the chapter.
And then the third step is once you do that, and the next step is hold on to yourself. trust your partner. When I do indeed do something nice to you and you interpret this in the negative symptom of pride, you reach your hand out and you're saying, I didn't mean to hurt you. This was not, I come in peace. Yesterday, I confessed to you that I jabbed you, but now this is not one of those moments.
Right.
You're helping clean up her glasses or cleaning up her stare.
You're helping interpret in a more positive light.
Yes, yes. Nice. And for that, I need to be a little bit playful. And even if she does the Holy Trinity of blocking, which is being insulted, surprised, or disappointed, or blocking, or saying to me it's fake, I can just say, it's not. This is real. And I keep reaching my hand out. I'm holding on to myself, and I'm saying to my partner, I am here. This is how you change. This is how you clean and soften the negative sentiment override. You own your shit. You fill each other's love tank. And when you are indeed, and check, by the way, if your partner says, oh, you're just doing it, you're jabbing me again, take a second. Have I?
Right.
If I have, own it. But if I haven't, if my intention was not to hurt Galit, I will say, no, this was actually sincere.
And then your partner essentially has a choice. Like, do I accept that interpretation? Do I reach my hand back out? Right? And then you get out of the loop of the vicious cycle of negative sentiment override. So in my mind, it's paradox, which is what instigates it, right? I feel unsettled. Like, how could this person hurt me if they love me? It's interpretation. I choose to interpret. And also, you can only get to that with own your shit, right? I choose to interpret and believe a sayer that he didn't say it to hurt me. He wants me to grow. He wants me to expand. He wants me to stretch. And then I make a choice of accepting that interpretation and going towards his bids.
Now, it's quite possible that I will still reach out, or Galit will reach out and say the truth. But and if I'm about to reject it, I can just broadcast love. I can say there's a part of me that wants to reject that feels that, again, you're trying to belittle me. But I'm choosing.
Or I'm really hurt, but I'm choosing to believe. And there's a but there intentionally.
Right. So it's also fine. It's not going to go away overnight. It is a muscle. It's rewiring not only my brain and Galit's brain, but the relational space.
Totally.
It's cleaning up the relational space. So that is how you soften negative sentiment override. We'd love to hear your thoughts and comments. How do you think you can solve it and resolve it? And what's been your experiences? So this was Galit Romanelli.
And this is Dr. Estelle Romanelli.
And we're the Potential State. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Potential State podcast. For more information, visit us at potentialstate.com. And thank you for listening.